I'm inviting your attention this morning to Psalm 137, the first verse. I've read in your hearing verses 1 through 4, and that's page 482 in the Old Testament. And this is an unusual passage of Scripture. It is quite different from other Psalms. Now remember that the Psalms were the songs for Israel. When they came to worship God, the Psalms were their songs of praise. But this Psalm 137 is not a happy song. We normally think about songs being uplifting and songs kind of cheering you on and kind of helping you feel better, but this is a very melancholy song. And yet, there's something here that I believe God wants us to understand. So I'm going to read again verse 1 of Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Would you join your heart with me in prayer? Our dear God and eternal Father, we realize that just as all of us as your children are all a little different, but we're still all your children, so some passages are quite different from others, and yet it's all your word. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you stirred my heart toward this passage because it makes me believe and at least to hope that there's something here that we need to understand that might encourage us as your children and help us to live on the path of service and faith. I need you, Lord, as I try to preach your word. I'll never live long enough, but what I'll need you every time I come before you and your people. I ask your blessings, Lord, upon us together this morning. Give me liberty to preach, them the liberty of hearing with understanding hearts, and the eyes of our understanding to be opened and enlightened for your word of truth. I pray for the sick who have been mentioned, for you are the one who has all power in heaven and earth. You can meet every need out of the riches and by the riches of thy amazing grace. Comfort their hearts in the times of this affliction of their life, and in your will, O Lord, give them back a better portion of health, which wits to come and worship you and be among the children of God here. So bless them each day. And Lord, bless now the preaching and hearing of thy word. Bless it to our hearts, to our lives, but more importantly, Father, to your glory and the glory of Jesus. In his blessed and holy name, a name above every name, we come to pray. And amen. When I was meditating and studying on this particular passage of Scripture, my mind went back just a couple of pages to Psalm 122. And it's a happy psalm. Remember how it begins? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I preached right recently about us going out into the highways and hedges and compelling others to come, that God's house might be filled. And here's somebody that was invited to go to the house of God, to go to the temple and worship the Lord. And that somebody was David, and he said, I was glad. I was glad when somebody said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So you notice there's a lot of joy in that. And yet we come to Psalm 137, and we see it's like a very heavy, clouded day. It kind of weighs heavy upon us. They're sitting by the rivers of Babylon, and there they sit down and weep. They're not laughing. The spirit of laughter is gone from them. The joy has left their hearts, and they're sitting there by the river of Babylon, and they're weeping. Why? Because they remember Zion. Now, the title I've given my sermon today is Precious Memories. precious memories. And that's what they had, some precious memories. And when they thought back and remembered Zion, they wept. And I want to get into that a little further as I go along in my sermon. But I want you to understand, as you look at the following verses, how dismal their heart and their mind. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And we don't have any music in us anymore. We don't want to sing. We don't have a need for our harps anymore. We've just hung them on those willow trees, those weeping willow trees by the river, as we would call them. For there by the river, they carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that wasted us, that is, they were in bondage and slavery and being wasted away in their strength and life, and they wasted us and required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But listen, here's what they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You see, they had no heart and no spirit to worship. They were involved in the bondage of slavery. They had been carried away to Babylon for a long period of 70 years of bondage. And you might ask the question, and it would be a valid one, to say, well, why were they there by the rivers of Babylon to start with, if they're remembering Zion and they're over there in Babylon? Why aren't they in Zion? Why are they in Babylon with such a melancholy spirit? Well, I'll tell you. They had grievously sinned against God. Jeremiah in Lamentations 1:8 tells us that Jerusalem had grievously sinned. And it was because of their sin, because of the judgment of God for their sin, that they're no longer in Zion. They're over in Babylon in slavery. You see, brothers and sisters, when God delivered them from the bondage of Egypt, and He carried them over into a promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, God made some promises and a covenant to them, and they made a covenant with God. And the covenant was that if you walk in my ways and you'll live by my laws and my teachings, then God is saying, I'll take care of you and I'll bless you in this land. And they made their end of the covenant, we will walk in your ways. And they did for a while. And God had His arms about us. He put His hedge about them, so to speak. And they were protected by God. But then they began to be introduced to idolatry, to pagan worship. And they began gradually to pull away from the great God of heaven and earth. And they pulled away and went into idolatry, where they could carve out their gods to look the way they wanted them. They could be beautiful and ornate. And they could carry them wherever they wanted to. But you know, brothers and sisters, one problem right there. If you've got a God you've got to haul around, that God can't help you when you need it. And that was their plight. So they had these gods they made, and they had their groves, and they set those gods up, and they worshiped gods they could not hear and could not help. And then when the enemy came against them, they thought their gods would deliver them. And God left them to the hands of the enemy. And that's the reason they were defeated. Those gods, God was proving the point. You've turned to those gods, let those gods get you out of the mess you're in. And they couldn't. So God stepped back and allowed the enemy to take them. Enclose them, defeat them, march them off like a herd of cattle in captivity and slavery in Babylon. They're doing slave labor. They're whiling away, wasting away. It's a sad thing, but see, they brought it on themselves. God said in Isaiah 1, 19 and 20, if ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And it was exactly as God said. You know, as long as they were obedient to the Lord and willing to keep up their end of that commitment and serve God and honor Him through His word, His laws, and His worship. Oh, God blessed them to eat of the good of the land. But when they turned away from God and turned to these pagan gods and walked away from God after all God had done for them, and they walked and turned their back on the true and living God,
then the sword devoured them, just like God said it would. You see, what they did was break the first and second commandments of God in the Ten Commandments. Do you remember what they were? They're recorded. You can read them in the book of Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They broke that commandment. God said, you will not make any graven images or likenesses of anything in heaven above or earth beneath, and you will not bow down and worship and serve them. And they broke number two. And God warned them that he would visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children unto the third and fourth generations, listen, of those that hate him, and he will show his mercy to those who love him and keep his commandments. And that follows in right behind the fact they had broken the commandments of God. So, they were reaping the fruit of their labor. They were now afflicted because they had hated God, turned their backs on him, went after false gods they could carry about, and in their idolatry, they were giving no glory to the God who delivered them. They were giving no glory to the God who was blessing them. All their glory and praise and worship went to images that men's hands had made. And so, as haters of God, they were carried into the bondage. And when you were carried into bondage, as they were for 70 years, it wasn't just the sin of the father. They endured the slavery, but so did their children, sometimes for the third and fourth generation behind them. And that's what he's explaining there. He had warned them. He had told them plainly how it would be. And yet, they ignored his word and turned their backs on him. That's why they're in Babylon. That's why they are weeping as they remember Zion. Now, the fact that he uses the word remembered here makes me to understand a very basic biblical lesson that God wants us to remember some things in our lives. You ever think about that? In fact, in the Ten Commandments, do you remember what the fourth commandment was? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's one thing God wants us to remember. This is the Lord's day. This is God's holy day. And he said to the Jews, remember the Sabbath day, which was Saturday for them. In the resurrection of our Lord, it became Sunday, the first day of the week. But you see, one day for them to worship in the week, one day as we worship in the week. But he said, I want you to honor me. Honor my day. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember it to keep it holy. And they were not doing that. He also tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, when you look at people, visit with people in the nursing home a lot of times, many of them would say, you know, I don't have any pleasure in life anymore. I'm old and worn out, and I just don't have much pleasure left. Not all of them are that way, but many are. Some waiting to die, some praying to die. I've known of that, praying to die. But remember now thy Creator. And that's in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator. And then I think of something else that we should remember. Paul said that I have labored to show you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. In other words, those who are able to work, work. And as you are blessed in your work, there will be people who cannot work. And they need our help. And so reach out to the weak and help them. And, he says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. There it is again. Remember something. I want you to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. I said, it is more blessed to give than receive. So he says, remember the word of God and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thinking about memory, with that in our mind, precious memories even, remembering things, that's the memory aspect of it. I want to make three observations that I think I have seen in this passage. The first observation about memories is that there are two kinds. The good memories, they're bad memories, aren't they? We all have some of both. From a national perspective, you know, there are people who've known the times of war. bad times, times of separation, times of tragedy and loss. 9/11, that's a bad memory. I was going to Columbus, Georgia. My memory serves me well. And we heard it on the radio. The terrorists had attacked. The towers were falling. A terrible time in the history of America. A bad memory. And yet, there's another kind of memory. There's a good memory. There's a good memory of remembrance of things that God's done, how God's blessed our nation, how He's prospered our nation, how He's brought us through rough times to better times. Those are good memories. So when we think about memories and remembering things, we have to acknowledge they're good memories and they're bad memories. Now, I can tell you a bad memory for me. A kidney stone attack. I've had a few of them. I'll be honest. I've hurt so bad I've crawled around on the floor like a puppy dog. I've gone outside in the night and walked around and around the car. I've hurt so bad I couldn't sleep. Bad memory. Boy, when it's over, it's good memory. You feel better. And I've got a lot of good memories. Good days when I felt great and I've been able to do things and enjoy life. They're good memories. Times when we are just blessed of the Lord. When it looks like the windows of heaven are opened and pouring out on us. But they're bad memories. Times when we do hurt. Times when we are sick. And some of our loved ones right here in this church today are going through some of their difficult times. And they'll remember these times and they'll likely be bad memories. And when we give up loved ones, that's usually a bad memory for us. I still have my mother, but my father passed away. It's never easy to give up loved ones. Doesn't matter if it's a child giving up parent or parent giving up the child or giving up your grandparents you love. And, you know, it's just, and in the church, many, many that we love in the church over the years, the Lord takes them home to glory and it's unpleasant for us to give them up. That's bad memories when they have to die and leave us. But the good side of that, what about when our children were born? What about when our grandchildren were born? Those were good times, weren't they? Those were the happy memories. Those are the blessed memories. So yes, in the experience of life, number one observation, they had some good memories because they were remembering back to Zion. They were remembering when they were once there, when once they lived in their homeland. They had some good memories of that land. But right then, those good memories were offset by some bad memories of how hard they had worked the day before, how weary and tired and worn out they were. See, life has good memories and bad memories. Paul had some of both, and I'll share that as scriptural connection. Paul said of himself, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. In other words, I blasphemed the name of God. I persecuted God's children. I hurt many people. I tore families apart. I imprisoned people. I stood while others were stoned to death. And yet he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I didn't know what I was doing. Those were bad memories. Don't you know they had to be? This man of God who wrote about half the New Testament is looking back to a time when he persecuted the church. And the Lord dealt with him on the road to Damascus that turned his life around. But you see, brothers and sisters, he's remembering some bad memories. But on the other side, he says, without controversy. Nor he said about Christ, that Christ came to die for our sins and that he paid our debt. And so when he's preaching Jesus, when he's talking about Christ, when he's declaring redemption through him, the grace of God in Christ, when he talks about all of that, that's a good thing, a good memory. Even though the death of Christ wasn't a pleasant one to remember, the accomplishments of it were. So, this is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Now, the second observation that I want to make in this. Now, this may sound a little strange to you. But if you think about it, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. When we think about the memory and remembering, sooner or later, if Jesus doesn't come first, sooner or later, all of us will become a memory. You hear what I'm saying? That's true, isn't it? All our loved ones who've gone on to heaven's glory ahead of us, what are they today? They're not with us anymore. What are they? They're a memory to us, though. We remember them. And we rejoice in our memories of them. But they're a memory. And the point I'm making is that as we live our lives, we live out our years. And to the Christian, it shouldn't be so terrible to talk about death, because death simply ushers us into a better place, into paradise with the Lord, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. And so death is not a dreaded thing, as it is with some people. We want to stay and be with our loved ones, and I admit that I do. I want to stay and be with my wife and be with her and enjoy our lives together. I want to stay and preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to be here to pastor the people of God for as long as God will leave me here. But I tell you this, I have no dread of death, and when that moment comes, I'm ready to go. And when God calls me home one day, you know what? I remember Brother Bill. I'll just be a memory. I won't exist on earth. See, in death, we cease to live and we become a memory. The question then emerges, what kind of memory do we want to be? The Bible says, Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the just is blessed. But then he talks about the ungodly, that their name shall rot. It shall turn into rottenness. What happens when something turns into rottenness? It rots. It stinks. So the name of the ungodly will stink. But the memory of the just, the memory of those who are justified through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and who are trying to live in a just life, that's a blessed memory. I don't want to leave a memory that rots. I want to leave a memory that blesses people, don't you? And that's what we're trying to do as we serve God and we honor Him with our lives and live according to His Word. Then we are just simply trying to be someone who will be a memory, but a good memory. And I hope the memory of all of us, people will look back and say, I remember Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so. Oh, I saw God's grace in their life. I tell you, they love God so much. I know that they were God's children because I saw God's grace in his or her life. I looked at the picture here a number of times as I passed through this little hallway of the churches it was years ago. And I'm sure when you look at it, you see faces of people who are now but a memory. But you remember them. And you might remember good things. You might have a bad memory of some. I don't know. Hopefully they're good. But it's a sobering thought about memory, that we're all going to be a memory. Some of the people never lived to get to Babylon. They died in journey, and they were but a memory. Some of them died in the land in the battles before they were ever extracted out of the land and carried to Babylon. But you see, all of that's part of people becoming a memory. So that's involved in this. But then there's a third thing, and that is, we need to understand that we are able to do some things that help us right now while we are still living. Right now, before we become a memory, there are things that we can do that will help us in making good memories. More good memories than bad memories. You say, well, what do you mean by that? What can I do? Well, you know, there's a principle in the Bible, and I believe it's true about being a memory or making memories. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You get that? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's the principle. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. The principle is, if you sow a lot of good seed in a field, you more likely have a good harvest in that field, weather permitting. But if you go out in a 20-acre field and you throw one handful of corn in that field, you're not going to get much corn out of that field. You see what God's saying? If you want a plentiful harvest, you better sow a lot if you want to reap a lot. So if we want good memories, we better be sowing good seeds. We need to be doing good things. Things that are taught in the Word of God. Things that God tells us we ought to do. If we want bad memories, well, just get on a path of doing things God says, don't do that and don't do that. And we can just keep on going on that path of don't do. We're not likely to get much good memory out of that. Oh, we might say, oh, yeah, but I enjoyed it for an hour. Yeah, but the follow-up, that's where you didn't get the joy. You know, the pleasures of sin are always but for a season. And so if we want to have more good memories, we need to be doing things just like we're doing today, being in the house of God, greeting one another in the Lord, standing out there after church is over and the sun shining and shaking each other's hands and fellowshipping together. Those are good memories. And then one day you come along and that person's gone home to the Lord and you say, oh, but I remember. I've got such a good memory of him or her. Oh, I can remember how he or she loved coming to the house of God and how we stand out there and just talk and enjoy each other's fellowship. See, we need to be doing good memories. There are two ways to live in this old world. One is in the broad way. And Jesus taught this in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and there are many which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Not eternal life. He didn't say we're going to have eternal life based on what we do. That comes as a gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. It's not by what we do. We don't work to get that. But he says, if we walk in the straight and narrow way, we shall have life. That is the fullness and richness of life to those who walk therein. So God says, here are the two ways. There's a lot of people out in the world, all they live for is self-gratification. I want, I want, I want. I'm going to have, I'm going to have. They don't care how they get it. Some of them don't care if they have to kill you to get it. Some of them don't care if they have to break in your house to steal it. They want it. I'm going to tell you, no good memories will come out of a life like that. Because God won't bless that. The people who are trying to help, who are reaching out to others, who are bearing one another's burdens, loving one another as we're taught, forgiving one another as we're taught, and bearing one another's burdens. You know, just walking the straight. How is it the narrow way? Because it's hemmed in on the sides by the Word of God. God tells us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So, we look up there and say, well, they brought some bad memories on themselves. They could have obeyed God and lived in the land and had good memories, and they wouldn't have to be thinking back to those times. They could have stayed. But they chose to do differently. They chose to go the way of Satan. They harvested in that garden those sinful weeds and terrible times. And I almost guarantee you, when those 70 years were up and God finally delivered what was left, when they got back to Zion, I doubt any of them said, I remember, boy, that was fun over there in Babylon. I think it's the worst time of my life. I'm glad to be home again. So those are just some observations that I see as I've looked at. And I want to close briefly by saying this. Have you ever thanked God for memories? Precious memories. Think about it. I'm not going to read the whole song. It's 490. But here's the refrain. Precious memories, how they linger. How they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight. Precious, sacred, scenes unfold. I often talk about older preachers that I've known who meant so much in my life. Elder V.F. Hagin, Elder T. Rowe Scott, Elder Charlie McClendon, to name just a few. I got so many good members of those dear brethren. They're cherished in my heart. But do you ever thank God for the memories that you have? You know, that song, Thanks for the Memories, was written in 1938. But I like to inject a couple of words. Thank God for the good memories. And that's what the Bible is teaching us. Now think about this as we close. What if we did not have the capacity to remember? What if God had not made our brain that way? Well, number one, you'd have to relearn everything you ever learned. If you didn't have memory, you couldn't keep it. You'd learn that the fire was hot and you burned your finger putting it in there, but you wouldn't remember. The next time you saw a fire, you put your hand back in and get burned all over if you didn't have memory. And you know what? If you didn't have a memory, the Word of God wouldn't do you any good either, would it? You'd read it, and you wouldn't remember it. Preachers would preach it, but you wouldn't remember it. If you didn't have a memory, I told Vanna coming up today, I said, if you didn't have a memory, I could preach the same sermon every Sunday. And it'd be new to me, and it'd be new to you. If we didn't have a memory. Isn't it wonderful we got a memory? God made us that way, folks. And if we didn't have a memory, we couldn't have all them precious memories that we have. The Lord is so good to us. That's why we want to worship Him and praise Him like we do. He's so very good to us. And in all the blessings of salvation, all of the sacrifices Christ made for us, coming out of heaven, dying for our sins, being buried and raised to live again, and all that He did for us. Oh, there is the hope we have of heaven and glory. But there's so many other blessings. Every good and perfect gift is from the Lord, and we ought to be thankful for them. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. That's what we need to be doing. Praising the Lord for the wonderful works that God has bestowed upon us. And thanking Him every day we rise up to say, Lord, thank You for memory. I remember what I learned yesterday. Thank You, Lord. I still remember what the preacher preached. I remember what I read in Your Word this morning. Thank You for memory. And I remember so many good times, so many loved ones in my life, so many wonderful experiences. Thank You, Lord, for memory. What a blessing. As our brother Jerry Clower would say, ain't God good? Ain't God good? He really is. God bless you. May His Word encourage our hearts to love and serve God better. It's my prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen.